A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. I have always found that last verse of this passage from Luke, the line that reads, "Then the angel departed from her," I've always found it a bit sad. There she stands, alone, having just articulated perhaps the most momentous decision in human history, her yes to becoming the mother of our Savior. She, in her quiet vulnerability, a youth, poor and female, stands as a pillar of extraordinary strength, alone, in the utter truth of her human being, in other words, in her genuine humility. Denise Levertov, in her poem entitled Annunciation, writes of the minute no one speaks of, the minute when she could still refuse. And then Levertov goes on to say, she did not cry, "I cannot, I am not worthy, nor I have not the strength." She did not submit with gritted teeth, raging, coerced. As we reread the passage with our eyes of faith, we observe a movement of faith in Mary. First, she's very disturbed and puzzled. She was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then she is reassured, "Do not be afraid." And she listens to the plan of God revealed to her by the angel. She hears it as a plan of God. How much we learn of Mary in this encounter. She knows who she is. "I am the handmaid of the Lord. No matter my questions or my doubts, I know that's who I am." She knows also who God is, the kind of intimate knowledge acquired by gift from God and by her attentiveness in prayer and in all aspects of her life to all of God's revelations to her. Finally, she responds in freedom. No coercion, no gritted teeth, as the poet notes. She hears this enormously challenging invitation and chooses to plunge into the unknown. By her choice, she takes action, even as she is also acted upon by the Spirit of God. Like all acts of faith, we have here an expression of union, her will united to God's, herself united with God's self. So in faith, Mary moves from confusion and questioning through reassurance to a decision that issues as a free act from true self-knowledge and God-knowledge to expression of union of wills, hers and God's. Years ago, I remember reading a book with the title, No More Plastic Jesus. Today, I want to say, no more plastic Mary either, not after you have contemplated this particular mystery. Like the poet, who gets the truer image of Mary for us in some other words in the poem to which I referred, she writes, "Bravest of all humans, consent illumined her. Consent, courage unparalleled, opened her utterly. Clearly, when the angel left her, Mary really was not alone." So we ask ourselves, how are we being invited today to be opened utterly by God's grace to the Word and the will of God?